Blog Talk Radio.
Today, August the 27th, we do thank everybody for joining us from whichever part of the world that you're listening us from. It is 1700 hours in Harare, Zimbabwe, 4 p.m. GMT in London, 11 p.m. Western Australia, and we thank everybody for joining us. It's 10 a.m. in Dallas, Texas. My name is Nathan Nkama, and I will be your host here. Today we have a great show, greatly honored to do this. We have a son of the soil of the continent who put his foot down and decided to defy the powers that be. We are talking about no other than Pastor Ivan Mawarire from Zimbabwe. This flag movement is our guest this morning. Before I go to Pastor Ivan, we're going to do 20, 30 minutes with Pastor Ivan. That's the agreement. And then our friends and our colleagues from the Zimbabwean community, we're going to have a discussion for another 30 minutes. What do we need to do to get involved into this based on the things Pastor Ivan is going to share with us and discuss with us? And then on top of the hour, I'm going to have Pastor Alan, Pastor Chongo from Maryland, and Pastor Larkson will be discussing Bishop Imakando's visit to the United States of America. All right, let's go to Pastor Ivan. Pastor Ivan, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show with you guys.
You are very welcome, sir. And I want you to be very greatly honored on this forum for you to consider to be part of this forum. And we have very little time together. Let me quickly go into the discussion and the things that we need to talk about. You took the national flag, draped it around your shoulders, and you took the YouTube. What prompted you to do
right.
that? Where did that come from? Well, I mean, what was going on inside of you?
You know, it was during a time that we were celebrating independence. It was just 2 days after the independence of Zimbabwe. And I
yes.
took some time to just think about where our country has come from and where we are and possibly where we are going. At the time, I was also dealing or grappling with a personal challenge of providing for my family, which is a very difficult thing for a man who wants to make sure that his family is provided for. And the feeling in my heart was, my nation, my own nation, which I am supposed to love dearly, seems to be standing in the way of my dreams. So that's how that came about. And I began to lament the situation of the country, lament what the national flag stands for, what we have been taught since we were kids about the national flag, and what the country looks like today. And I was lamenting the distance between the promise of Zimbabwe and the reality of Zimbabwe. And so that's how I arrived there. And part of that video, that first video, at the end of it, I then purposed in my heart to then say, even though we are in this situation, it is my job as a Zimbabwean to fight for the promise of this country. I am the one that is responsible for loving, and nobody can love Zimbabwe more than a Zimbabwean. So even though I hate what has happened to her, she is still mine, and I am still hers, and we need each other to be able to go forward.
Excellent. And the words you use, Pastor Ivan, I actually listened to the video clip so many times.
Mm.
And you basically went through each color of the flag of Zimbabwe, what the color stands for, what it defines. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, I looked at my own Zambian flag and I'm like, I've never looked at it this way. What took you to that moment?
You know, I think it is the realization eventually in life that everything we have has got a meaning. And if we are going to be a people that are going to pass anything to our children that they hold valuable, then we must be able to define what things mean so that we can hold ourselves accountable. And this is the heart of the movement that has started in Zimbabwe. It's holding our government to account. Our national flag, the Zimbabwe national flag, is very colorful, but it's colorful for a reason. And like you rightfully said, the meaning behind it is that the green on it is supposed to stand for the our agricultural base and, you know, the vegetation in Zimbabwe that we've been so proud of. The gold or the yellow is the minerals in the ground that we have. The red is the blood that was shed during the War of Liberation. The black is supposed to stand for the majority in Zimbabwe who came out in their numbers to vote for the new Zimbabwe in 1980. The white is there for peace, and you know, the bird is the Zimbabwean symbol. So these things have meanings. And when I did that video, I then began to question the authenticity of the meaning that our forefathers, or at least our liberators who are running the country now, the authenticity with which they had given the meaning, or the authenticity in which they had handled the meaning itself. So I began to talk about the fact that, wait a minute, we're talking about green here and saying that we have an agricultural base, but we haven't had a meaningful crop come out of our land in 15 years, almost 20 years. In fact, we've destroyed all of that. We're talking about natural resources and minerals, of which the ordinary Zimbabwean has had no access to at all, particularly the missing $15 billion worth of diamonds that the president himself announced, you know, in the last couple of months. I mean, that is a travesty of the promise. And then for me now, this is something that I'm passionate about, the red, which talks about the blood that was shed. And I'm saying, was that blood shed justifiably if what we have on our hands is a country that is so tragically poor, a country that is so far away from a symbol of prosperity since independence? Then we talk about the black, which is the majority, and I'm saying, what is there to celebrate about the majority of Zimbabweans except that we are suffering, and that only the political elite, the few political elite, enjoy what Zimbabwe is? So for me, that became, and that still becomes, that point of value to say, we have to hold our government, this one and the governments to come, accountable to the promise of Zimbabwe.
Pastor Ivan, the big question here is, in the video clip, you talk about getting involved. And that's one thing I want us to zero in here. Everybody who has called in, everybody listening online, I think the issue here is, when you say get involved, what should we do? How should we get involved?
The first thing to understand is that this is a journey, especially for Zimbabweans. And let me explain what kind of journey this is for us in terms of where we are coming from. Zimbabweans are coming from a place of having been held down by fear. The one thing that the Zimbabwe government under Robert Mugabe and his party, ZANU-PF, have done successfully over the last 36 years is to instill a very strong sense of fear within Zimbabweans at home and abroad. Even when Zimbabweans leave Zimbabwe, like I have found out, when they are abroad, we are afraid. We are still afraid that we are being watched. We are still afraid that our families may get hurt if we said anything. We are still afraid that we, you know, ourselves could, you know, be harmed if we say anything. So when I said, let's now get involved, when I said in the video, let's stand for this country, let's fight for her, the journey begins by breaking and scaling the wall of fear. And it starts with something very simple, which is our voice. The voice is the strongest thing that a citizen has in their nation. It's not a gun. It's not a superpower. It's not an ally. The best and most powerful thing that I have discovered through this project, and please understand, I'm not a politician. I'm not an activist. Well, maybe now people call me an activist. But I have just been discovering these things as I've been walking myself. The first thing that I have that is powerful is my voice. That is the powerful. That thing must be released. That voice must be heard. That voice must register. So a Zimbabwean cannot get involved in the process of liberating Zimbabwe or in the process of building Zimbabwe if they are not prepared to speak. If we are not prepared to stand up and speak, that's where the first place of involvement is. Open your mouth and speak against corruption. Speak against injustice. Speak against poverty. Can you see it? Can you articulate it in your own way? How is it affecting you? What we need to hear is the stories of each individual that says, this is how corruption in Zimbabwe has affected me, and I'm not standing for it anymore. So that journey begins of involvement, begins by raising your voice. It begins, the journey of patriotism for Zimbabwe, it begins by speaking up and saying, I'm not going to justify my silence anymore.
You are a pastor. You are clergy. Africa faces the issue, the dilemma of a clergy's involvement in the political process. You've clearly stated here, Pastor Ivan, you're not a politician. You're not an activist. You are, how should we look at you? And how should we, obviously, you've ruffled up some things, and the next question we are going to address is the outcry back home of you being here. So the dilemma of clergy's involvement in our nation's political process, how should we, what is our place? I'm a pastor myself. What is our place?
Right,
I've got
right.
a lot of pastor friends listening here who are on this forum, those listening online. What is the clergy's role in our nation's political process?
Pastor, we are pastors. Yes, it's important for every pastor to also realize that they are a citizen. When I was challenged by one of the very vocal government ministers in Zimbabwe, and they said, you're a pastor, you should keep your mouth shut and only attend to the gospel on Sunday. You know, and he did this openly on social media. And I remember responding to him. I said to him, if I vote, then I speak. If I have a vote, you as a politician from today onwards must understand that my vote has a voice. There is no vote that has got no voice. And the problem we have in many of our African countries is that politicians see us as voters and not as citizens. They see us as numbers and not as voices. They can only count us as ballots and not appreciate us as builders. So here is the thing, is that I then got to a point where I said, no, even as a pastor, as clergy, even as the church, we have a role to play in shaping the politics of a nation. Many pastors don't want to hear that, but this is the truth. We have a role. When you look through the Bible, Old Testament, and even go into the New Testament with Jesus, you can see the role of the church. You can see the role of the voice of God, the prophets, as they spoke to kings, as they confronted political systems of injustice, as they gave advice, even in good times they gave advice, and they were able to help a king with wisdom. Even kings that were ungodly would listen to men and women of God as they gave them advice.
Okay.
So when we abdicate the role of being active in the politics of our nation in terms of speaking against the things that are wrong, corruption, hey, it is the job of the church. I believe that the church is more equipped, better than civic society, to speak against immorality, to speak against a lack of transparency, to speak against a lack of integrity, and to speak against unrighteousness. So we are better equipped, but now we've left that space for such a long time that it feels unnatural. When a pastor now begins to confront a president, it feels unnatural. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even the body of Christ turns on you as a pastor. And they said to you, what's your problem? Why are you messing things for us in the country? You shouldn't be telling people what to do, or you shouldn't be standing against this leader. Instead, you should be praying for them. And whilst it is our job to pray for the leaders of our nation, as the Bible says, it is also equally our job to condemn or to stand against an injustice. The Bible says in James 1, I think it's verse 27, if I'm not mistaken, and it says, true religion that God our Father accepts. You know that scripture, yes? Is to
mm-hmm.
stand
mm-hmm.
and to represent the widows and the orphans. So we have a job to do that cannot be abdicated, and we're getting to that place now where pastors and churches can no longer hide and can no longer be absent from being able to use their office, rightfully so. It's a respected office. It's a powerful office. Use that office to speak truth to power, like Jesus did, like the apostles and disciples did, like the prophets did, in the days of old in the Bible. So we have a place which we must not be ashamed of operating in.
Excellent. I like what you just said. If I voted, Roger, if I voted, then I speak. Everybody,
exactly.
I think we need to take the, if I voted, then I speak. Woo, I like that.
Mm.
Let me just share with everybody something that Pastor Ivan, something beautiful that I just saw on Facebook this morning. Bishop Tudor Bismarck is speaking in Zambia this weekend at Bread of Life International Conference. He's standing in the pulpit.
Wow.
And he's got a small flag of Zimbabwe around his wrist. That's a beautiful picture. It's a very beautiful.
It's something about Bishop Tudor Bismarck. He's actually been carrying a Zimbabwe flag on his international missions for many, many, many years. And when I then started carrying my flag as a pastor, it was just amazing to stand on the work that he has been, and many other men of God, by the way, in Zimbabwe have been speaking about Zimbabwe where they go. But particularly Bishop Tudor Bismarck, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's for the better part of about 14 years. He's been carrying the Zimbabwe national flag tied to his wrist wherever he speaks in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, in the United States, everywhere he's gone. And his call has been to say, we representing that God is about to move in Zimbabwe. So he's done a fantastic job.
That's an excellent, very excellent thing. Pastor, even I'm sure you're aware of this. I'm going to ask on behalf of everybody. There's this thing lingering around your movement, your work, and your being in the United States. I think even President Mugabe, when I read on Al Jazeera, he said something like, typical of cowards, he starts something and he runs away. How do you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, that's typical of dictators, to threaten someone and then try to lure them to come back into a den where you want to hurt them. If you listen to the full speeches of Robert Mugabe about me, and I think there are about three or four different speeches and different days where he talks about me as a person, you can sense the panic in the man's voice. You can also sense the desperation and the desire to really harm somebody. In the first speech he made, he said people like Pastor Mawarire, who are fake pastors anyway, have got no place in Zimbabwe. He says there is no place for people like him in Zimbabwe, and he must leave and go to the place where he is. He's being funded. And when citizen number one, the person who has access to all the machinery in a nation in terms of finances, in terms of state security, in terms of the army and the police and other shadowy organizations under his arm that people don't know about, when that kind of person makes a threat about you, it's important for you to understand that that person it could just be a threat, or they really want to carry out what they want to do. I am more effective alive than I am dead. And I'm not trying to play to the gallery of the president's game or his desire to see me harmed or hurt. No, I have a job here to try and build Zimbabwe for my children. I'm 39 years old. The president is 92. When they came out of war, they came through with our fathers, and they had something that they had fought for. My father didn't see the dreams that they fought for in the war. I didn't see the dreams they fought for in the war. And now my children are about to see, now from the same man. Can you imagine this, Pastor? That they are, I come from a line of four generations. My grandfather, my father, myself, and my child. We all know one president who has destroyed our future, who has destroyed our destiny. And so when that man threatens me for standing up, and by the way, I have a small church and have only been active for the last 3 months. He's been a politician for the last almost 55 years. When that kind of a person threatens you and that kind of a person starts to come after you, you know that you've shaken something and the shaking must continue. So I'm not about to have him tell me what to do with my life when he's tried for the last 36 years to destroy all our lives. So I'm not concerned about, you know, him or his party. And by the way, a lot of the things that are being said about me, it's all, you know, it's ZANU-PF people that are trying to, discredit me as a person. But let me finish this answer by saying this so you can ask more questions. Let me finish by saying this. Even if I'm a fake pastor, number one, even number two, if I'm a coward, I could even admit today that I am a coward pastor. It's what I've been taught to do for 36 years. Even if they call me a fake pastor, even if they say to me I've stolen people's money, even if they say to me that I'm running to the USA where all cowards run to, one thing that remains the same, that remains true, is that it is not fake that $15 billion went missing from Zimbabwe. It is not fake that we have 90% unemployment in Zimbabwe. It is not fake that we have major referral hospitals that have got no water in them, such that pregnant women, when they come to give birth in Zimbabwe at these hospitals, they come with their own 20-liter container of water to make sure that she, that she is washed. It is not fake that we have got had no investors in our country. I mean, all these issues are real. So fine, Mawarire is fake. Nobody has known me from a bar of soap. I'm just a voice that stood up, and you are able to castigate me, call me a coward, and call me a fake man. What about the issues on the ground? Are those fake?
That's right. Let me allow my colleague, one of my co-hosts, Pastor Ivan from Canada, to ask a question or make a comment. Roger, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Pastor, for joining us. My name is Roger here in Canada. Before you came on, in the first discussion, we passed a word of solidarity to the work you are doing and what our friends are going through in Zimbabwe. And we said the radio that what you are doing is bigger, Pastor, more than you think probably right now, because we are seeing all the progress Africa was trying to make in Uganda. They are being reversed. In Congo, it is the same. Our own country, we were talking about issues with press freedom. Your victory in Zimbabwe will make people awake and get understand once again that, yes, people can be oppressed for so long, but one day people will rise up again. So we would like to encourage you, Pastor. They will call you names to weaken you. They will call you names to do anything. But what you are doing is bigger, Pastor, than what you realize right now.
Thank you very, very much there, Pastor.
Excellent. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio, our special feature here, Pastor Ivan Mawarire, this flag movement in Zimbabwe. Pastor, we agreed on 30 minutes. Our time is almost up. After Pastor goes, I'm going to have a team of Zimbabwean colleagues and friends here. We are going to engage in a discussion to make this a reality, not just something we are talking about. We need to get involved. People, we need to get involved and just ensure that Pastor Ivan's efforts and sacrifice is not in vain. Where do we go from here, Pastor Ivan?
Right, Pastor. Now, this is the journey. Now that we are walking. The first thing I said earlier on was that we have to make sure that our people start to speak up and to speak out. This is the power that we have, and this is what the government is afraid of. And indeed, all repressive governments are afraid of this. So the next step going forward now has been that we have realized that for us to be able to register the kind of victory that we are looking for, there has to be an unprecedented mobilization and engagement of Zimbabweans everywhere. This is not about Zimbabweans in Zimbabwe only, even though that is important in the core, but it's about Zimbabweans everywhere, Zimbabweans that are outside Zimbabwe. We are affected outside Zimbabwe as well. In fact, many of us left because of the situation, not because we were cowards, but because men and women had to come out and work in the United States, work in South Africa, work in England and Australia, so that they could send money back home to support those that are living in Zimbabwe, where there is, you know, unemployment and all these problems that we've spoken about. So the Kadhas or the Zimbabweans that are outside Zimbabwe are as much a part of the struggle as those that are in Zimbabwe. But what must happen is our unity, number one. We must be united. The government thrives on the disunity of the citizens in terms of them being able to continue with the repressive regime. And this is what we have discovered now, that when we stand together and speak with one voice or act with one voice, we get results. So number one, the unprecedented mobilization and engagement of Zimbabweans everywhere. The second thing that going forward, and by the way, this is very much a process that is still receiving a lot of input from Zimbabweans everywhere in terms of mapping the way forward. But the second thing that is that is important right now as we go forward is to start speaking to, for example, in Zimbabwe, we are starting as a citizen, we're speaking to opposition politics, and we're saying to them, you now need to be awake as you watch the citizenry, because the citizenry are putting certain demands on the table. Begin to fashion yourself as an opposition or opposition party that can speak to the needs of the citizen. We are not just going to throw our weight behind the opposition just because we don't have an alternative. But we've created space now as citizens where the opposition can start to mold themselves to truly become the representatives of the people. For the first time, we have made clear to you what our issues are as we have stood against this government. So we are looking now and pushing the opposition parties and opposition politics in Zimbabwe to become united and become a formidable force that we can trust, but also to allow them to know that if and when they get into a place of leadership in Zimbabwe, we will hold them to account the same way we are holding this particular government of ZANU-PF to account as well. The third and final thing that at this point has been established among Zimbabweans is mapping the way forward towards the 2018 election. We have elections coming up in 2018. Now, there are many views around the election. Some people think it's too far. Some people think we won't get there. And I understand that. But as a pastor, the word of God binds me to respect and work with the law of the land. We agreed in Zimbabwe that we have a constitution, and that constitution must be upheld. And one of the first things around that is that the Constitution gives us a provision to change our government at the election. So as a pastor, that is what I can plan for and say to people, that's the opportunity we have to change the government legally, constitutionally, and in a way that is pleasing even to God, according to his word. Let us now plan around that. Let's start sending messaging out on voter registration. Let's start scouring the world to help us in holding an election that is credible. But it starts with us Zimbabweans, with the mobilization of Zimbabweans. In the last election, Zimbabweans did not come to vote. So no matter how many observers you had come out, it was useless because there were no Zimbabweans that were voting. We were all sick and tired of the process, and we left it. So we now have to start putting ourselves in order concerning the vote, concerning learning how to protect the vote and so forth. But here is a submission I must make here as part of the way forward. I've said to Zimbabweans that let us now find ways of protesting along the lines of the issues. And there must be as many protests in Zimbabwe as there are issues. We have the constitutional right to protest as many times as we want. And so part of the way forward is that we are now keeping this government busy with protests and demonstrations every day, to allow as many Zimbabweans to get the opportunity to register their voice in terms of discontent. But it must be done without violence. Pastor, I can't stress this point more, that we cannot as a nation engage in violent demonstrations or protests. And here are a few reasons. Number one, Zimbabwe was born from a very violent liberation struggle. We lost enough people through that to gain independence. And then after that, in the 80s, Zimbabwe went through a very dark period called Gukurahundi, where our government, through Robert Mugabe, murdered over 20,000 Ndebele people under the guise of them being dissidents and trying to overthrow the country. It's a genocide that the world has not really heard about. And we lost people there through violence. And then we came through the late 90s and early 2000s, and we saw election violence at unprecedented levels in Zimbabwe. People died, people were beaten, and we can't have that going forward. Zimbabwe cannot be born out of violence. We have to understand that, because what you get by violence, you must keep by violence. If we get a result by violence right now in Zimbabwe, we are essentially training our children that this is the way in which you are going to run Zimbabwe going forward for any result. So I've tried my best there to paint this picture of the way forward. We have to keep mobilizing. We can't stop. Number two, we have to get to a place where we understand that the elections coming up are the point at which we can overwhelm the system. Out of the 11-12 million Zimbabweans in the last election, only 3 million Zimbabweans voted. And that's pathetic.
Oh, wow.
So we must now overwhelm the system in 2018 to the point that it can't be rigged. If 10 million Zimbabweans showed up to the polls in this coming election, I guarantee that no matter what the rigging mechanism is, it won't be denied that it's time up.
Excellent, excellent. Before we let Pastor Ivan go and I let him make his final comment, Priscilla, please check your... I need a response to the message in my... I sent you an inbox. I need a response to that message, please. Pastor, we do thank you for taking the time to be with us. And this is really, really, really inspiring, even for us, the Zambians, the Malawians, everybody in Southern Africa, and where there's a struggle going on. I think this is very, very, very important, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Your final word to every African listening.
Pastor, the struggle in Zimbabwe, my final words are that the church has risen up. This whole uprising you are seeing began in the prayer room. We were praying for months, myself with some young men, but even prior to me, there are many women of God that have been praying. Some have gone on to be with the Lord, and we're praying for a season like this one. But this was born out of prayer. What God is doing in Zimbabwe is unprecedented, and what's happening is that the world does not understand it, because it started in the heart of God. And I want to encourage Zimbabweans and my African brothers and sisters everywhere that what God begins, God must bring to completion. We must not try to turn into cleverness something that God began through grace and something that God began through mercy. But finally, Africa must now change going forward. We can't go back to what we have been in the past, where we solve things with wars, where we allow corrupt leaders and we allow dictators to come in and destroy the future of our children. And my comment, which I have made to Zimbabweans all over the world as I have traveled, is this, is that we will no longer allow ourselves to be divided by the politics of our country, but we will now be united by the dreams of our children.
Excellent. Wow. Powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, Pastor Ivan Mawarire, this flag movement in Zimbabwe. Pastor, we thank you for taking the time. We're
thank
going to
you,
take the next moment, and I'm very grateful to my brother Simba for facilitating. I'm also grateful to my good friend and neighbor. We live in the same city, Pastor Pezi Kudakwashe, for connecting me to Pastor Simba, to Brother Simba, who facilitated all these things to happen. So that's why you can see Africa is one village. We're all brothers and sisters. So all these people, Pastor Ivan, they made your coming to this platform possible, and I'm very grateful to all of them.
Wow, wow. Thank you for your program, your platform, which is amazing and outstanding. The media is playing an amazing role in the liberation of Zimbabwe, and we appreciate you making that available for the progress of the people of Zimbabwe.
You're welcome, sir. It's our contribution in a very small way. Okay, We have dedicated this hour to our great neighbors, brothers and sisters, Zimbabwe. And I want to talk to my Zimbabwean brothers and sisters here who have called in, how we are going to build on to the things that Pastor Ivan has shared and steered us to do and to discuss here. Okay, I'm trying to... Priscilla, I need your help here, please. I need your help here. Okay, is this... Let me go to this number. 5515, is this Clive? Okay. Pastor Pezzi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Tell me about this fired up man who is ready to get this nation. You know the way I look at it, Pezzi, and everybody who has called in. This is not about Zimbabwe. This is about Africa.
That's very, very true. Because the trend right now is being set in the is it Dodoma reverse going backwards. So what happens in Zimbabwe? What happens in Zimbabwe today? Might send a signal. Yes, it can take long. It can be very painful, but the people's will at the end of the day will prevail.
Okay, that's very true. I'm trying to get a panel of the gentlemen that I put together, my Zimbabwean brothers. 845, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Your name, sir?
They call me Shaka Zulu in New York.
I like that. Shaka was a very vicious, warrior. I'm looking for Clive and the team that he put together for me. Area code 2489028, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm part of Clive's team.
You are part of Clive's team. Your name, sir?
My name is Gabe Shumba.
Okay, Brother Shumba. Excellent. And my brother Shaka Zulu here. I'm looking for Clive, but I can't seem to find him. Brother Shumba, you heard?
Ask him to press 1, and then probably he can come up.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah. Clive, okay. Clive is the one that sent me.
Okay, yes, I'm expecting you, and thank you for coming. You've done very well. I want us to talk about you understand the issues of Zimbabwe better than I do, although I'm your neighbor in Zambia. You've heard, Brother Shaka Oshumba, you can respond to this. Pastor Pezzi is here too. He's free to talk as he wishes. Pezzi belongs everywhere. Brother Shumba, you heard what Pastor Ivan said. My question to us here is this thing about getting involved. You know, Brother Shaka, the statement that Pastor made, this is what is steering me, Roger, and everybody listening. If I voted, then I speak. I want you to respond to that, Shumba or Shaka. If I voted, then I speak.
Yes, this is Gabe Shumba. I so agree with Pastor Ivan on that statement, because for 36 years as Zimbabwean citizens, we did not realize how much power we have just through the voting process. So we've been silent for too long because you heard that only 3 million people actually do go to vote in a country of 14 million people. And we have close to 7 million eligible voters in the country. And it's a process that we as citizens have not taken advantage of. And I agree with him wholly, because the only way we can speak, the only way we can speak without violence, the only way we can speak for our dreams and against any injustice is through the voting process, by actually going to the polls.
Excellent.
Okay, so
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Shaka Zulu. I want to agree with Shumba, and I want to agree with Pastor Ivan on the voting system. And I'm one of those people that have never voted in my own country for personal reasons. And and listen, just so you know, the difference was going to be the same anyway. The last two votes, elections, or the last three elections.
Yes.
The difference was going to be the same anyway. So even if I had voted, even if more people had voted, the difference was going to be the same anyway. But right now we have a place, we have a time, this is a time where, you know, things are not going to be the same. Because because of the movement that's happening in Zimbabwe, started by Ivan, you know, Itai Damara, you know, Promise, you know, Dr. Noah Manyika, all these people who are coming out of, you know, nowhere, from nowhere, who are not really politicians. Because one of the things that I understand this government understands is they understand politics. But the people who are coming out right now are not politicians. These are people who are politicians. You know, most politicians are thieves and robbers and killers. These people, you know, Ivan, you know, Dr. Noah Manyika, you know, Thomas Mafumo Mukanya, you know, Promise Mukwananzi, you know, Patson Zamara, you know, Itai Zamara. Let me speak about Itai Zamara for 1 second. Some of you guys don't know him. This is a guy, a journalist, who was the first person, or maybe one of the first people, to come and stand in a huge park and say to Mugabe, you need to retire, by himself. Nobody coming alongside him. This is a hero right there. And right now, his you know, his brother right now is at risk right now, and I'm not gonna reveal a lot of things, you know. So yes, the vote, you know, is our voice, but previously it was not going to make any difference because we know exactly what was going to happen anyway. But right now in 2018, I don't see that happening. Why? Because guess what? I'm going to vote, so my vote is going to count.
Okay, Brother Shaka and Shumba, and because the electoral commission, whatever it is called in Zimbabwe, why should we be confident that in 2018 the voice or the vote of the people will be respected by the electoral commission?
Okay. This Gabe, I don't think as citizens we can worry about whether or not the vote is going to be respected. I think as Pastor Van keeps saying, we just have to overwhelm the system and make it very difficult for anybody to rig the election. We just have to go in masses and exercise our vote, and by so doing, we know that it's easy to manipulate a voting system where fewer people vote. It's extremely difficult to manipulate a voting system where almost everybody goes to the poll. So that's really one of the ways that we can actually, as citizens, make sure that we guarantee at least a vote that supports our intended outcome.
I agree with Shumba on that. You know, that I think that's what needs to happen. You know, mobilized people, you know, who are coming in to vote, and I'm hoping, you know, by the time, you know, that happens, this government won't be in charge. That's my prayer. Call me a dreamer or not. I'm hoping and praying that by that time, maybe there'll be an interim government that doesn't have people who are just thinking about their mansions, their money, and their gold, but people who are thinking about the future of our country and how to bring the economy back into what it's supposed to be. So I'm hoping for that.
Whilst you are on that, Shaka, let's address this issue of the press. You mentioned one journalist who went into the park and he took a risk by making that statement or pronouncement about Mugabe retiring. Let's talk about the press in Zimbabwe and how is the situation? Do you have private media? To what extent are they able to print or broadcast what they wish to broadcast?
of late, I think they've been able to print. You know, and you can. One of the things that you know that's happening right now is social media. You cannot control social media. Even the government has tried to do that. You cannot control social media. You cannot control the internet. You know, so that's one, you know, advantage that a lot of Zimbabweans have right now. But remember, there are people on the ground who are in the rural areas. We have no access to the internet. We have no access to Wi-Fi, you know, and they're still being told by the radios that, oh, you know, they're being, you know, funded by the West. And I'm laughing at this. You know, I'm laughing at this. Why? I'll tell you why I'm laughing at this. Because some of the people that have been called, they are being funded by the West. They are actually being funded. The government is right. They are actually being funded by the West. And who is the West? The West is Zimbabweans who are in the West helping their fellow brothers and sisters. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Pastor Ivan said that, those of us outside Zimbabwe need to fund the movement back home.
Literally, not only the movement, my brother, not only the movement. We have been funding even this government for a long, long time. We've been giving money. You know, I will tell you about thousands of dollars that I've donated to Zimbabwe, to programs and all that stuff, and what has happened to some of that money. We all know. And we have people in the government who are sitting there who are saying, oh, the West this, or the West this. And guess where their children are? Guess where their children are going to school? The West.
The West.
What kind of hypocrites are these people?
Why do you think this message of, why do you think this propaganda about the West resonates with the rural community or the rural population?
Because they don't know. They only hear the news through the radio. What they are told is what they understand. And you know, you were talking about the electoral process of voting. You know, when they are told that when you go into that booth to vote, we will know who you voted for. That's what they believe. They're not looking. They don't want war. They don't want war. They are told that we'll know exactly who we are going to vote for. Who do you think they're going to vote for? So it's ignorance and you know, it's division, very divisive. You know, people being abused. You know, through this the little media that they have access to, which is the radio, and the little newspapers that they have that are controlled by the government.
Yeah, that is exactly what is happening here. Let me go to, okay, I don't know if Pezi wanted to comment anything here or add on to what Shumba and Shaka are saying. Pastor Pezi?
I just want to maybe first of all thank Zambia Block Talk Radio for allowing Pastor Ivan to speak on the show. But also I realize that Zimbabwe came to independence because of the neighboring states, not the Western world, but particularly neighboring states, you know, and those are, some of the states are quite, like, you know, far, like maybe Tanzania, Mozambique, Zambia played a crucial role too, you know, and all of these countries. And I think this is going to be a repeat. To change the Zimbabwean government, it's going to be a repeat, but this is going to be like done by Citizens Without Borders. Like, you know, now that Zambian radio is coming, we are going to see a lot of these things. Like the social media is going to speak against the system, because Robert Mugabe is a darling to many Africans. When he goes outside Zimbabwe, when he speaks, everybody loves him. But people don't know how bad he has treated his own citizens. So until the other nations begin to speak against what Robert Mugabe has done, and this is going to go for the South Africans, the Zambians, the Malawians, everybody speaking on social media until Robert Mugabe cannot face anywhere and not see people pointing him out that he is worse off than he portrays himself. But now I think the battery is on the right track. And Zimbabwe is going to be given the second liberation, according to what I think.
You are right on that, Pastor Pezzi, because I'm sure all of us here, you will agree, whether you are Zimbabwean, Zambian, Malawian, or everybody listening. You remember when Paul Mugabe made that statement at the AU, African Union, where he was castigating the West to let go of Africa and let us run our affairs. Oh, that thing went viral. All of us loved it, that he was getting into the face of the U.S., the Security Council, Roger, members of the Security Council, when Mugabe addressed and confronted that situation. Pastor Pezzi, you are right on target to say, you know, he sounds very flamboyant when he's out there, like he's a Pan-Africanist and he's a patriotic African, but just look back and go back into his neighborhood and see what is going on there. I don't know whether Ashaka or Shumba, you wanted to add on to that, the issue that we're discussing here.
Listen, man.
No, I
okay, go ahead, Shumba.
I absolutely agree with Pastor Pezzi. Right now, our strength as citizens of Zimbabwe is really our ability to mobilize and engage not only other Zimbabwean citizens, but also to engage our neighbors, because Zambia helped a lot during the liberation struggle. Mozambique helped. Mm-hmm. South Africa helped. And all these countries helped. And I can tell you right now that the problem in Zimbabwe has persisted, not only because citizens have been quiet for too long, but it has also persisted because even the neighbors have also been quiet for a long time. So and partly because most people didn't know what was going on, because if the citizens are quiet, why would neighbors start to speak? But I totally agree from a perspective that the mobilization should just should extend across the citizenry and also across the friends of Zimbabwe.
Very true. Very true.
Let me just add on to that, Nathan. One of the regrets we have in Zambia, I think, for the loss of President Mwanawasa was exactly that. He was one of the few, I think, who stood up to Mugabe and told him, you need to begin to treat your own people well. That is number one. Number two, a lot of, it is just in African people, leaders, when they get to power, they don't want to leave power. So when they see what Mugabe is doing, they are just trying to see what formula can they copy from there. That's why you
right.
see them have all these things, I don't know what they call it, non-interference in their whatever they create in AOU, non-interference. So yes, it will be now up to you and I, the individual.
Mm.
It is so sad to hear that you guys in Zimbabwe, people can follow you here in diaspora. We need to break that. We need the strength of the pastor who came here. We need people. Yes, maybe you need to change your names, but we need people to speak up very, very strongly, because what happens there? We'll come to Zambia as a formula people can use to oppress their own people. It can move to Kenya. It can move everywhere. So what you guys are going to do is really going to set the stage. Yes, it will take time, like I said. It will take a long, long time to change, but people's will at the end of the day will win,
no matter what.
Yes.
That's absolutely true. We actually have one of our team members who is a lady on the panel with us. I don't know whether you can pick her up. She's on this.
Can you give me her number?
Yeah, what's the last four numbers? If you know our last four
numbers. The last four numbers.
Last four numbers. It's 5580.
Okay, we have her here. Yeah, we have her, Nathan. The line is open.
Okay, she's up. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, Makadi. Zibanji.
Bueno, mauka bwanji.
Tauka.
We've been waiting.
We are busting. We want to talk.
and nice. You see, before I let you talk, to everybody who has called in, and we appreciate, like I mentioned, everybody that helped put this together with Pastor Ivan. I just want you, our brothers and sisters, to know this is your platform. Everybody, this is your platform.
Thank you very much.
Shaka, Shuma, everybody listening, if you want, look, President Mugabe is using the radio to what you call it, for his propaganda back home. This radio station cannot be closed by Zimbabwean government, Zambian government. Nobody can close this. This is your platform. So if you want to say something, just send me a message and say, hey, we want to talk to our people, or we have an issue to address. You are welcome here. Mama, yes. Good morning. You didn't tell us your name.
Good morning. My name is Savannah Madamombe. I'm actually based in New York.
Yes, I can tell by your number here. Miss Savannah, please go ahead. You wanted to say something and would like to hear you. We always love to hear ladies' voices on this forum.
Yeah, we were beginning to get worried, but I guess it's a system that we have to fight. It's a cultural thing that women are always left behind, but, you know, usually the power's behind. But we want, for this system, even the government of Zimbabwe, to change. I think it has to begin by us recognizing all those little things that seem to be little, but they are really huge. When we fail to recognize the people, people with less power who are with us, we're carrying on the same system where the government does not recognize people with no voices. That's the masses. It's a chain that happens every time where you have oppression. The people at the top are usually the ones with the powers, and you know, the people going down, they start oppressing the other ones behind them, and it ends up with the children, the smaller ones, because they don't have the voices. But right on top of the children are the women. So we have to out this. We have to figure out why we have our women right down there below if we need to fix this situation. So you mentioned about this radio being the voice for Zimbabweans. It's history repeating itself. When we were growing up in Zimbabwe during the liberation struggle, I remember we used to hide and listen to this radio called from Radio Maputo, Radio Mozambique, where our liberators were being hosted, just like we are being hosted right now, to be able to speak freely, because we could not speak in Zimbabwe freely. And this radio was because it could not be blocked by the Zimbabwean government. And again, I have goosebumps right now when I think about it. Things that are happening right now are the same things that when I was growing up, I used to hear of people coming and leaving Zimbabwe, sneaking out of Zimbabwe at the mid of the night to go to be hosted in different countries. Like, you know, Zambia played a huge role. Our history and Zambian history, that's why you see I kind of speak a little bit of Nyanja, because we have a lot of Zimbabweans who crossed into Zimbabwe, and we as Zimbabweans crossed into Zambia. So we are interlocked. The same as Mozambique. We go into Mozambique as you pass the Beira and go right into you. Everybody speaks the same language, Shona, a mixture of Nyanja and all those languages. So I wonder, at some point, are we not the same people? Of course, we are.
We are
the same people.
We are the same
why do we observe these borders that are artificial? Do we realize these borders are artificial? They were created.
That's
we
right.
have a timeline as to when they were created, but we observe them more than we observe our oneness, our being together. Now,
excellent.
I don't know. Let me
This is what we are going to do. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Pastor Ivan, like I said, our discussion was going to be based on the things Pastor Ivan was going to share with us. And my goodness, he has made some very powerful statements. I can understand he's a pastor, he's a theologian. One of the statements he made as we transition here to our next discussion, Bishop Joseph Imakando is visiting the United States, and he's got two events or programs going on in Maryland and in Florida, and I've invited the people hosting him in those two events to come and discuss with us what's going to happen and all those things. But as we conclude here, Ms. Savannah, I would like you to have the last word here. Pastor Ivan said this is a journey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said this is a journey, and the journey has begun. He has given us, he has what? He has flagged off this journey for this community of Zimbabweans and Zambians together through Zambia Block Talk Radio. Like I said, if you need to communicate something, you want to discuss something, or you want to bring another leader on this forum, we can even talk to them in Zimbabwe. Those that are based in Zimbabwe, if you want them to come on this show, just let us know. You can, we can communicate through Pastor Pezi or just directly, and we can do that so that we start getting the women in the village, the youth in the village, to hear and to understand that the Zimbabwean living abroad is not an enemy. That's what we need to get our brothers and sisters to understand. I would like you to give the final word here, Ms. Savannah, before as we conclude our discussion.
So I agree very much with Pastor Ivan that this is just the beginning of the journey. We're going to win some battles. We're going to lose some, but we just have to keep focusing. And in that regard, we as people have decided that we will carry on, even if they take one person out, even if they take Pastor Evans out of the equation, if they take Patson, they took Itai Zamara out of the equation, but this is not going to stop. We actually are planning to stage a huge demonstration in going forward with the word that Pastor Evans has been saying, that we have to stage more demonstrations. So here is what we are planning for them. We are planning for them to come to New York City in September for the General Assembly, and we're going to welcome them, just like we do back home. We welcome people. So we will be there in thousands. We are waiting to welcome Robert Mugabe for the first time. We've never done this. We've never welcomed him when he comes to New York.
Okay.
And we are going to welcome our father. And this is going to be for 5 days. The entire 5 days are going to be here from the 17th to the 21st. And when our father stands up to speak on the podium on the 21st, we will be on Union Square and would love Zambians to come in and their flags as well, as much as we have ours. And we join and we show them that this is just not Zimbabweans. This is now about everybody. This is not Pastor Evans alone, but it's every Zimbabwean. So really, you cannot. What I will not do is put the burden of 36 years on the shoulders of Pastor Evans. We stood by. We were there when this was happening. We did not raise our voices just because he raised his voice. I stand and I will not put this burden on his shoulders. We have to share the burden. So
that's right.
Excuse me when I say to Pastor Evans, with all respect, you will not take this burden alone, because it's something that we need to fix together.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. Everybody's going to get involved. We are getting involved, all of us. We are getting involved, and this is the message, yes. So thank you, Brother Shaka, Brother Shuma, Ms. Savannah, Pastor Pezi, and I thank you, Brother Simba, for connecting and facilitating Pastor Ivan. And, Pastor Ivan has given us instruction and direction. The journey begins. This has been our show. So we are going to transition here, and I'll be joined by Pastor Chongo from Maryland. Pastor Alan is a regular on this show, and Pastor Laxon, as we get ready to discuss the things that will be happening starting next week, actually. So everybody remember, if I voted, then I speak. We're going to take a small break here, and we shall transition. All right? Let's listen to a song by Ephraim. And to our Zimbabwean friends, I'm going to send the link of this show with Pastor Ivan to Pastor Pezi, and he's going to share with every one of you. We have a link. You can send it to Zimbabwe. Everybody can listen. There are no restrictions to online. That's the beauty of the internet, no restrictions. So let's listen to a song from Ephraim, and then we'll be talking to Pastor Chongo, Pastor Lakson, and Pastor Alan. Listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, and this is Saturday, August the 27th. Days are flying, and we were talking to Pastor Ivan Mawarire, this flag movement and our Zambian brothers and sisters community, Zimbabweans, discussing the way forward on this journey that we are going to begin as a community. One of Zambia's leading and renowned leaders is visiting the United States of America beginning this week, actually. This week on Thursday, 1st September through 4th. This is no other than Bishop Joseph Imakando is going to be at Agape Word Center Church International. And the senior pastor, the founding pastor, is joining us here. My brother, my friend, Pastor C, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Nathan. Good morning.
How are you? Oh, it's already afternoon for you. Me, I'm still in the morning.
Afternoon for us.
It's good to have you on the show. When you have Pastor C, you know, on the show, you know that an angel of the Lord must have moved somewhere. Pastor, you are hosting Bishop Imakando, and by the way, congratulations. This is the 10th year of this Agents of Change annual conference. Talk to us about what will be happening, and share with our listening audience about the Agents of Change conference.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. Yes, this is a very exciting time for us. It is the 10th year in which we are hosting this conference. This conference actually coincided with the launch also of the church, Agape Word Center Church, whose vision is to develop agents of change for Christ in the marketplace. And the Agents of Change Conference is a time when we all come together as Christians from various churches and backgrounds to be empowered, to be strengthened through the word, through the worship and the fellowship that we have with each other. So it's really an exciting time, Pastor Nathan, because we build our faith and we strengthen our spiritual lives for the fulfillment of the destiny that God has for us.
That's important. You use the word empowered, strengthened, and you said in the marketplace. Why is it important, Pastor C, for the Christian to be part of the marketplace and everything that is going on around? The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. Why is that so significant?
The Bible correctly tells us that we are in the world, but not of the world. We are in this world so we can influence the world and bring about the kingdom of Christ into the rule of the world. We live in a fallen world, like we all understand. And the challenge we have today is that Christians are Christians only in the four corners of a church building. And when we leave that place, nobody even recognizes there is a Christian around until something favorable shows up. But an agent of change is somebody, it's kind of like a tea bag in hot water, you know. The water changes the color. And that's what an agent of change is supposed to be. As a believer, as a Christian, I believe that we're supposed to be change agents who are called for the marketplace. The church building is just where we come to be strengthened. It's where we come to be encouraged, where we come to be dusted off, and where we come to remember that we are on a program to bring the world to Christ and Christ into the world. And so that's why it's very important for Christians to be strengthened, to be refueled, and to be immersed so they can change their world.
That's right. The conference, talk to give us the dates, the times, and the venue.
The conference is our 10th anniversary conference. It will be held in Maryland, in Beltsville, Maryland. The address in Maryland is at 6728 Industrial Drive. And for those that are coming outside town, there are so many hotels around. It's a very easy place to locate. And we are very excited about this year's conference. We have amongst us as our keynote speaker a general of the faith, Bishop Joseph Imakando, who is the overseer of the Bread of Life Church International and affiliates. And this is a global church planting and disciple making organization. Bishop Joe, as we many of us know, has been a pioneer and a great man of faith in our nation, and not just in our nation, but worldwide. Currently,
worldwide,
Bishop Joe is the chairperson of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia. And not only that, he's also the chairman of the Africa Evangelical Association Southern Region, in charge of Southern Africa, that's overseeing 10 countries in Southern Africa. And so the Lord has used him greatly, and we believe and trust God that in this conference this year, there will be a great move of God to lift us up and to shift us into our destiny. So I'm encouraging everyone listening and everyone in the area to just come and be a part of this great weekend.
Excellent. Pastor Joe, Bishop Imakando right now is in the, I was looking at the pictures, Pastor C, of the conference going on right now at Bread of Life in Lusaka. Oh my goodness. Just looking at the pictures, you are like, wow, this is something that you'd love to be part of, and is bringing that power and anointing into the atmosphere well at this conference beginning this Thursday, 1st September through Friday, Saturday, and ending on Sunday morning. There's something I noticed when I look at the program, Pastor C. I would like you to address this. On Saturday morning, on September the 3rd at 11 a.m., there's a pastors and the ministry leaders workshop. What is the expectation of this specific day? Everything is important. I just want you to talk about this in case somebody is interested in coming.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. First, before I even talk about that Saturday, I would also like to let our viewers know that our kickoff speaker for this conference is a great man of God, Pastor Nathan Kama himself. He will be kicking off this conference, so we are very, very excited about that. Now, coming to Saturday, Saturday morning, we would like to tap into the grace of God on Bishop Joe's life. Bishop Joe has been a leader, and through his apostolic grace, Bread of Life has planted over 100 mission churches in all the continents. They're in Australia, they're in Europe, in the United States, in different countries in Africa. So this is a servant of God whom God has used, from pastoring a church of barely 100 people to over 10,000, and with thousands in the overall network. So we believe that there is a grace upon him to release into leaders. And so the Saturday morning is specifically for people that are pastoring, people that are already in ministry at different levels of leadership in ministry, or people that desire to walk in Christian leadership. So this will be a time of leadership impartation, a time where from a pulpit setting, sometimes there are certain questions you want to ask that you can never ask. But this is a time where you have a one-on-one with a great man of God. And this is not an easily, it's not something to just easily take by. It's something that we should cherish and be able to just drink from that fountain that the Lord has given
us. That's true. And another aspect of the conference, Pastor C, is Ephraim is one of the worship, is doing ministry in the conference, right?
Oh, my. Yes. Ephraim is doing ministry in the conference. He's leading the ministry of worship. We have also our very own Agape Praise, our local ministry. But the ministry of worship will be led by Ephraim. Is a great I believe he's one of the greatest worship ministers of our generation, of this generation at the current time. And right now, he was here preparing with the band, and he just left for England last week. He'll be back by Tuesday. Just he needed to go for a meeting there. They just needed to have him. But he will be with us from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he's actually also using this as a launching pad for his latest CD project. It's an awesome worship, awesome English CD project that he has done. It's, I believe this is his best work yet.
Amen. We're looking forward to that. So what's going to happen here is, thank you, Pastor C. What's going to happen is when Bishop Imakando is done with Maryland, of course, the other thing he's going to do is for those that are listening and you live in a particular region of the country, let me welcome the Florida people here. Pastor Alan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are looking forward to the meeting.
I don't know whether this one is Pastor Laxon's number, 9852. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's my line, sir.
Pastor Laxon,
yes,
good morning.
Sir. Good morning, Pastor Nathan. How are you today?
Doing good, doing good. So when Bishop is done in Maryland, he's coming to, is it Tampa?
Yes, sir. He's coming to Tampa, Florida.
Give us the date and the venue of the event.
Okay. Our conference is actually dubbed 3 Days of Power.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop lands in Tampa on the 9th. And the meeting starts on the 9th itself in the evenings. We'll have meetings from the 9th to the 11th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The outline of the programs, we'll just have sessions in the evenings on Friday and on Saturday. Then Sunday we're going to meet in the morning. That's from 10 a.m. to 12. And then in the evenings from 6 to 9.
Excellent. Now, Pastor Larson, you can correct me about this. Is this going to be the launch of Bread of Life, Tampa, Florida?
Yes, sir. We've taken advantage of our father's visit to the U.S. to make this also the time of launching the church. The church has been in existence from January this year.
Okay.
It started as a cell church, and would have prayers, would have people come for deliverance and for various aspects of ministry. Not until a month ago, that's when we started meeting on a Sunday morning, and it started as a church, but the launch is yet to be done as Bishop comes on September 9th to 11th.
Okay. What is the church called, rather?
The church is Bread of Life Church International USA.
All right.
That's
excellent. For those that live in.
Yeah. And then for meetings on a Friday and a Saturday, we're going to use the Legacy Church. It's right around Brandon in Tampa. I can share the details right now with everyone that's online.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The one for Friday and Saturday, it's the Legacy Church. That's Causeway, along Causeway, right in Tampa.
Okay.
Yes, and then on a Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 12, and then later in the evening from 6 to 9, we're going to be at the Embassy Suites. This one is 10220 along Palm River Road, Tampa, Florida.
Okay, excellent. It's an exciting time for us to begin to recognize and celebrate our spiritual leaders and like Pastor Laxman has said, spiritual fathers from Zambia. We don't get too excited like our West African friends.
So those in the Tampa area.
Yeah. Pastor Alan, what's your message to the Zambian community listening?
Yeah. I think my message will simply be that it's very, very important when a man of God, the caliber of Bishop Makando, shows up in the States. We are going to have access to him, which you won't get in Zambia, and which you won't get from most men of God of his caliber. I mean, I remember going to Bread of Life when it was under those 100 people in Emmersdale, but for a man of his caliber, it's a very, very great privilege and an honor. So we do well to come and honor the man of God and just also to receive some impartation and words of wisdom from him for life. But, Pastor Nathan, I just wanted to mention quickly the caliber of leaders that he is raising in Zambia.
Yes.
The caliber of Pastor Laxon. Pastor Laxon is not just a regular riffraff kind of pastor who comes from without. I have tasted his spirit. I have listened. And I know, for me personally, because I'm skeptical about some preachers, but Pastor Laxon went into Chilanga, into an area where they told him you can't raise more than 70 members. By the time he was leaving Zambia to come here, he had over 500 members of Bread of Life. He's a young man, but he's called, he's anointed, and God has graced him with a lot of wisdom. And the people do well to come and support him and support the ministry and be connected from one of our own, if you like, but just generally as a man of God. It's a testament to the caliber of leadership that Bishop Makando is raising, and I have no doubt that he's going to do great things here in Tampa.
Amen.
Excellent. You, Pastor Alan, you haven't caught up with the latest phrase being used, Pastor Kada. Have you heard that one?
It's amazing.
I don't think Pastor She also got that one too. Pastor Kada, that's a new one.
Pastor Kada,
that's the latest.
Yes, so
right?
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening to us online, if you are in the what do they call it, DMV? Is that the expression used, Pastor C, in that area? DMV?
That's right, DMV. Speaking of the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, because we're kind of like a tri-state area, so we're right in the middle. Yeah.
In fact, I mean, you are not only expecting DMV people; those in New York, Pennsylvania, all that area, please. We encourage you to attend the Agents of Change Conference starting this Thursday through Sunday. And then from the 9th to the 11th in the Tampa, Florida, Atlanta, the Carolinas, let's go down there and support Pastor Laxon. You all just heard, he's not a Pastor Kada. He's a solid and a strong man. And we're looking forward to that. And by the way, Ephraim is also going to be in Florida. Is that right, Laxon?
Yes, sir. I was actually about to talk about that one. We're going to, at the same time, have Pastor C coming to Tampa as well. FM is coming to Tampa as well. And Agents of Change in Washington, Pastor Laxton is going to attend as well.
Looking forward to seeing you.
I'm looking forward to, sir.
Yeah.
Pastor Nathan, just to mention, I know that Pastor Danson Kalumba is working on taking Ephraim to Orlando, so the Zambians in Orlando will have an opportunity to meet with him. And then also,
okay,
we are still trying to figure out how we can get, maybe work it out that Bishop Imakando can spend a couple of hours in Orlando. Because as you may be aware, most of our Zambian population is in Orlando. As a matter of fact, Pastor Laxon is the only Zambian in the church here in Tampa. So we're trying to see how we can work things out.
All right. So what we can do is that next weekend, since the Bread of Life event in Tampa is after Agents of Change in Maryland, next weekend we can take some time to talk about Bishop Imakando's visit and stay in Florida. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Hello?
Pastor C.
Thank you so much, Pastor. We thank you so much for this time, Pastor Nathan, and we definitely look forward to having you this week, Thursday. Pastor Laxon, looking forward to seeing you. And listeners, once again, you are most welcome to attend this life-changing conference and in both in Tampa and in Maryland. It will be an awesome 2 weeks, and I really encourage you to do all that you can to come and be a part of what God is doing in this season.
Excellent. We do thank everybody for listening in today. My colleague Open Forum in the beginning. Join us every Saturday morning starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, which I believe is 2 p.m., 1400 in Zambia, 9 p.m. in Australia and everywhere. We thank the Zimbabwean community for facilitating us to speak to Pastor Ivan, and we're looking forward to doing things together. So we look forward to seeing everybody. For all other information and what is coming up, please follow us on Facebook, Zambia Block Talk Radio, and we are on Twitter too at Zambia Block Radio. We look forward, I'll be doing the show next week, if possible, from Maryland, if I'm going to have the time to do that, since I'm going to be in that meeting. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.